From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Every year when I get to the sweet pea listings in the seed catalogs, I think, this is the year I'll organize some supports in the garden for them and indulge in their unmatched extravagance of color and fragrance. Today's guest doesn't hesitate one second or have to think twice about sweet peas ever, which are always on the list in his Massachusetts garden, grown both as cut flowers and elements of beds and borders. More on why you and I should make room for some in 2024 and how to grow them expertly is next, but first these messages.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com.
Matt Mattis, author of Mastering the Art of Flower Gardening and also of Mastering the Art of Vegetable Gardening, gardens in his Worcester, Massachusetts home. Matt is the third generation of his family to live and garden there in the same house with its 2-acre landscape. He's had a career as a graphic artist and toy designer at Hasbro for many years, but for at least as long, he's been passionately designing garden scenes and experimenting with one genus or another in his garden and greenhouse, where he can't resist the impulse to try every last species or variety of something that he can get his hands on. So Matt, good to talk to you again. We should warn people, though, that they may have a seed catalog or a plant catalog shopping binge if they listen to you. How are you?
I'm great. You make me sound like, I guess I'm more obsessed than that even, but we know we're not alone, right?
No, and from your Instagram, your popular Instagram feed and so forth, you know, I see your fun experiments and so forth. And before we get started, I'll say we'll have a book giveaway of your flower gardening book with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com. And so in a New York Times garden column we did recently about a range of annual vines, I introduced you as a person with a trial gardener's mind because, you know, besides having that strong design sense I was just speaking about, you also love to sort of try a group of plants or a genus of plants hands-on yourself, right?
Right, right. I think that's maybe that's the artist in me, you know, that idea of having, you know, a Crayola box of crayons with all those colors. And curiosity, like I want to see and appreciate all those different nuances within a genus or even within a species. So something like zinnias or sweet peas, or especially with annual flowers, you can see, you could grow 10, 15, 20 varieties side by side. And it's always interesting to see that at Botanic Gardens. So I try to do that here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the descriptions do their best to say the distinctions from one to the next, but it's not the same as trying it. Plus, there's the variable of this is my place and this is my conditions and it's going to grow. This one might do better for me than that one and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, there's that too, right?
Right. I think with most annual flowers, you see that. You see those differences, right? With morphology, you see the different forms and shapes. Some are, you know, short, some are tall, some have different flower sizes. But with sweet peas, the differences, I think, are mostly with color. I mean, they have a really wide range of color.
Mm.
And they're all beautiful colors.
right. And you've done, I mean, you know, you've trialed Nicotianas and you have so many lilies you told me about, you know, you love lilies and you even like, I think sort of trialed, you looked for every, what is it? Salpiglossis?
I
mean, do we even grow that? Does anyone even grow salpiglossis?
Grows it anymore. It's, I think sometimes it's one of those lost, forgotten, old fashioned flowers. But I found an old book from, it was just from the 1930s, but it was an estate gardener's book. And saw that salpiglossis was grown as a greenhouse plant. So for, you know, they would grow annuals in the spring and summer in greenhouses in England for display in conservatories. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to look at those old books and see maybe that's how I could grow some of these. So yeah, I do those experiments too.
So with your with the sweet peas, you know, as you explained to me when we did the time story, you know, you kind of group them into roughly two categories. And I'm not trying to say this is the official, you know, lineup or whatever, but you sort of talk to me about the antique types with somewhat smaller flowers and these larger flowered Spencer types and how you grow and then also use them differently in your garden. So maybe help us a little bit with that, because you know, I don't think many of us who are first timers, especially, or may have only tried one or two sweet peas, know kind of the wide world of it as much.
I think even among flower farmers or anyone who's grown sweet peas who've gone to, let's say, a website that specializes just in sweet pea seed, I think everyone's confused with the old classifications, right? They were like multifloras and grandifloras. And I've even asked my plant breeder friends, like, what does that mean?
Right.
Those are really old-fashioned classification terms for a lot of flowers. But I mean, basically, in the world of sweet peas, grandifloras are anything sort of before 1907 or 1901, depending on where you look. That's when the Spencer varieties, which maybe people have seen those listed. The Spencer varieties were developed in England. And those are a larger cut flower type, long stems, big flowers. Those, let's say 1905, 1907, that happened. But before that would have been, your grandifloras and multifloras. And those are just old-fashioned terms. You know, multiflora officially means there's more than four flowers on a stem, but I don't think any of us care about that. I tried to think of them as old-fashioned, just two groups, old-fashioned and then Spencer's, at
Okay.
least in our modern world.
Okay. And you use them differently. You create different supports for them and you and your end product, so to speak, your desire of what they're going to do for you is different. And how do you use those two types?
Well, my history of sweet peas goes back to the 1980s. Like right out of college, I joined the Sweet Pea Society in England. And I
The
live in
Sweet Pea Society? I had
New
no idea. You forgot to
York.
tell me that when we were doing the time story. The Sweet
There
Pea Society.
is. It's still you could still join the Sweet Pea Society in England. There's a website. I'm sure you can include it in your show notes. But that's a great source, a resource for sources in England. And for a long time, the good sweet pea varieties could only be bought from England, especially in the 1980s and 1990s. Now in the US, we have far better sources, but I still order some from England too. But the Sweet Pea Society sort of would hold flower shows through, the 20th century. And these, I don't think they're as popular as they once were, but that always appealed to me, exhibiting, growing for exhibition. And sweet peas, like dahlias, right, are one of those plants that was grown for exhibition. And in England mostly. So that appealed to me. And I don't expect people here to do that, but you could. I mean, you could grow them in these very strict ways where you limit them to one stem tied to a bamboo cane. They call it the cordon method. It restricts their growth. So you could get, an 18-inch flower stem with a 2-inch flower on it. I liked doing that, and it's fiddly, it's fun to do, and you can easily go online and find out how to do that. So I still grow some in that way with, these nice tidy rows of bamboo canes that are 8 or 10 feet tall, and I plant seedlings on those and train them. But I also like to grow them in the flower garden, on teepees or on towers of branches or various structures like netting.
So with the cordon method or the growing them on the bamboos, you make like this support structure for them, and you tie them up every so often so that they really, because they're not, I mean, these are not like morning glories. These are not twining vines. These need your help to they grow, they hold on by tendrils, yes, little delicate tendrils.
Right. You've grown like edible sweet peas in the
Sure,
garden, right? So they
sure.
have those little twirly like grape tendrils that grab on. So that gives us a hint on how to grow them. And so if you want to be fiddly and you want to train a sweet pea plant for the most extraordinary flowers, you could limit them by training them on a cordon or a bamboo cane, but you would have to tie them. So You mentioned tying them, with a string. I have to do it every 3 or 4 days in May and June. That's how fast they grow.
To get these long-stemmed, larger, you're for the cut flower use, yes.
Right,
Yeah.
for that method,
Right.
if you restrict, all this side growth, and you're cutting the tendrils off so they don't grab the flower buds next to them, the leaves get really big. They're as big as the palm of my hand. It's
Wow.
really kind of magical. So it's fun to
Wow.
grow some that way. But the other, especially the old-fashioned varieties, which have shorter flower stems, those are, I think they're best just grown on twigs or branches, like pea brush, or like you would grow garden peas, basically. Except no, they're going to grow a lot taller. These are going to grow taller than your garden peas.
Yeah, you showed me a picture that I think you said it was inspired by a clematis growing in an English garden that you had seen. It was almost like this kind of they'd took taken twiggy pea brush and they'd kind of made it almost like a ball of it, they'd bent it, they'd put it in the ground on one side and then bent it over and put it in the ground on the other side and done the same in another direction and so made this like dome and let the old fashioned you let the old the antique varieties kind of scramble over it.
Yeah, I think with a lot of vines you could do that. I mean, I use the, branches from our birch trees or the trimmings from our hornbeams, which to be honest, I might trim every other year, so they're pretty long. So in the spring, yeah, I make a dome in the garden, and it could be any height you want. I mean, ours end up being maybe 5 feet tall, 4 feet tall, and it's fun to make these. We want those craft projects in the spring, right? So in the wild, the Lathyrus odoratus, the sweet pea, grows on shrubs. So this would be, you're mimicking it tumbling over a shrub. I mean, it's clematis grow too.
And so the ones that you're looking to train onto those bamboo canes, that cordon method, and we can show a picture of it with the transcript also so people can see how you've structured it. Those are the Spencer types, and those are the ones that you're sort of turning into those cut flowers and managing it for the longer stems and the bigger flowers and so forth. But with in both cases, whatever our wherever we're going to use in the garden, you start them like I mean, we all know peas are one of the edible peas are one of the earliest things that we can put out there cool season, adaptable or they love the cool season. So w do you start them in the greenhouse or can we do them under lights for those of us who don't have a greenhouse or do you direct sow them? What do you do with sweet peas? About
Well,
when?
I have a greenhouse, so I keep it cool. It's a cool greenhouse, meaning it's just, I keep it above freezing, but below 45 at night. And that's just what sweet pea wants. I think that's the biggest confusion with people starting sweet peas is you'll see them online starting them under lights indoors, and that's not what they want. They want, think of garden peas, right? When do you sow your peas, right? We always sow them in March or as soon as the ground can be worked, right? And it's the same with sweet peas. So the trick with sweet peas is, first of all, it's probably different for every state in the country. So you have to find your own little window of when you can plant them. But here's what they want. They want cool or cold weather. If it's above 20, you can sow them. So, if you're in Washington State or you're in zone 7, let's say 7 to 10, you could sow them in the fall. And
Oh,
you're going to do just root growth.
I see.
There are even Cornell studies in, I think, around 1910, where they would sow them in New England in the fall. And I tried that under hay, and they did grow. I mean, they bloomed a week earlier in June.
So no big head start, huh?
No, I mean, they produce better roots, but it gives you an idea, it gives us some tips of what they want.
So if I yeah, so I wouldn't I'm not going to treat them like I'm treating my tomato seeds inside. If I am going to do them inside under lights because I don't have a greenhouse like you do, I would want to pick a cool room and I would want to make sure that, so it's not the lights aren't I mean a lot of the newer lights give off less heat, which is great in this case, right? And that they're not like right up against them. I mean, I think we could start them indoors, but we have to be careful not to let them sort of stretch out from too little light and too much warmth. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. I think sweet peas are one of those plants. They're sort of opposite of tomatoes. I mean, you nailed it. If you have a garage or you have a sunroom,
That's what I was just thinking about, a
yeah,
sunroom kind of thing.
little light unit in it. I mean, they would love. They want really bright light. So if you think what they want really bright light and really cool temperatures. And you could start them as early as November if you want, if you have that condition. If you could keep them at 35 all winter, they're growing their roots. That's what a lot of flower farmers do. You know, they sow them November, December, January. They want to bulk up at these cold temperatures, so they keep them at 35 to 45, but under really bright light. And that means either in their hoop house or under artificial lights. So
Right.
it's not really where any other plants we would grow
Right.
or things we would do that. But if you do have a garage that's unheated, but it's, you know, it hovers around freezing, you could plant your sweet peas right now.
And the other thing is you can also start right around 6 or so weeks ahead of your set out date, which I assume is like in our area where frost, the last frost date is sometime in mid-May or so, is the set out date a few weeks before that, the
Yeah,
transplant date.
the
Yeah.
alternative is, I mean, so there are many ways to grow sweet peas. So on the easy side, right, you could plant them just like you do your garden peas as soon
Direct
as
sow,
possible. Yeah.
right.
So you could do that. I think the difference is the benefit of starting them earlier and cold is that they bulk up more roots and they might form more side shoots. And it's those side shoots that are stronger growing or more vigorous than that main shoot.
Right.
Why you often see pinching. We always pinch sweet peas, but growers could either keep all the side shoots or remove all but one side shoot, but rarely does anyone keep the main shoot.
Oh. Huh.
So it gives you a much stronger stem.
Yeah.
But you know,
So, sorry.
I'm sorry, with sweet peas, it's all about the roots, right? So you might see people growing with toilet paper tubes, and which is okay if you have that many toilet paper tubes, but they want that deep root run. So a deep pot is better, a root trainer or a deep cell. I mean, you could grow them in 4-inch pots if you want to, but you'll notice all the roots are at the bottom.
That's a good point, is that they do compare to, a lettuce seedling or something, that they want a they don't want that tiny tiny little cell that's not very deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a
You know
good
what's
point.
interesting too, and I'm trying this year, some flower farmers are sowing sweet peas in sort of combination pots, like a 4-inch pot that's deep, but a number of like 25 seeds in a pot and planting
Oh.
them in winter and keeping them cold. So they grow very slow or
Oh.
hardly grow at all in the winter, but they're forming roots, but they transplant really easily. You can separate them. The roots are very strong.
Oh.
And you can separate them so it takes up less space. So let's say you don't have a lot of space, you want a cut flower garden, you know,
Right.
you could plant 25 4-inch pots, you know, in early in the year and keep them in your garage under lights. And then they're just barely growing, but they're forming a lot of strong roots and a lot of, you know, leaves that are closer together and dense. And then separate them, let's say in March, into individual pots and then gradually introduce them outdoors.
So, do you have a couple of favorite, both of the antique types that I might let scramble up? If I'm just getting started with sweet peas, I might do that, and I might just even direct sow them or sow them again a month and a half or so indoors in a cool, bright spot, and transplant them around a twiggy structure or something or on some netting. Do you have some favorite old-fashioned varieties, the antiques like that you recommend? Or and also, if I wanted to try training the larger flowered Spencer types, do you have any favorites of those that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, sure. I think if you like fragrance and don't mind having smaller flowers, but lots of them, I think there's a variety called Matucana, which is it's like an improved selection of the original wild sweet pea. I mean, no one really knows even what the wild one was, but that's probably the closest you can get. You know, there's some notes that say it was grown back in the 1700s, but super fragrant. So that's
Wow.
sort of a purple and maroon bicolor, so a small flower, maybe a half inch wide, but that scent will waft across your garden. So that's something I grow every year. You know,
Oh.
I try to keep that in the garden, but not as a, I mean, you could use it as a cut flower, but you'd have to cut the whole stem. But I like the colors of sweet peas because they just have the most beautiful range, personally. I think, you know, with the watermelon colors, the, you know, cotton candy colors, there's a lot of periwinkle purples,
Yes.
pinks. I try to keep them into two groups. I grow all the periwinkle blues and pinks as one, and then I grow the warmer colors like cerise and watermelon and coral I just don't like the dark red ones personally. They seem to not fit in
Yeah, they're different from
the
either group that
color,
you just mentioned. Yeah.
right?
They're different.
Yeah, and then there were like flakes and stripes, which were really old fashioned. They were popular in the turn of the century. You know, sweet peas were the most popular cut flower in 1900.
And you said flake, so it's like it's they're almost like they're like speckled or variegated, not variegated exactly, but sort of it's mo a mottled flower, yeah. A little
Right.
bit,
It's like
yeah.
a red and white stripe sort of, or it get orange and white stripe. There's no real stripe, but I like those old fashioned ones.
Yeah, and now you mentioned pinching. So just real quick, I wanted to ask which. So I've got these seedlings. Let's say I started them indoors, and I'm pinching out what, like the second set of leaves, or which set of leaves that forms when am I pinching it?
Yeah, so second or third, if you're growing them under really bright light, so let's say you do have in a garage and they're between 25 and 40, your leaves are closer together, but they form these two pairs of leaves. I usually take the second pair out. I leave just one pair of leaves. You know that what you don't want is sort of long spindly plants that were grown warm under lights that you never pinched, because those really, they probably will grow 24 inches long and may not even bloom.
So you want a really sturdy plant. In a way, it's counterintuitive because you think, oh, I'm letting it grow longer, but actually what it's doing is it's stretching out, it's weakening. It's not going to reach its full size by letting it.
And I think if you do by accident grow them warm and they're long and lanky, definitely pinch them back. You know, leave like 3 inches of that spindly stem and hope that stronger side. Don't be afraid to pinch. That's big takeaway
All
here.
right. So in our last like 5 minutes or 4 minutes, I want to say, it's catalog season and you're a good shopper. I want to ask a couple of sources or a few sources where to get sweet pea seed, because I know like Select Seeds, for instance, has like, I don't know, around 20 varieties or something. I don't know if you've ever ordered from Swallowtail Garden Seeds. I see they have a lot.
Definitely, yeah.
So
So
I don't know. Are there a
Renee's
couple others?
Garden,
Renee's?
yes, Renee's and Johnny's carry some. There's Floret Farm, of course, that have some great that they save their own seeds. There's a new one, Sweet Pea Gardens in Washington State. I haven't tried them yet.
That's interesting. I saw that they moved up from like California or something. Yeah, a few
So
years
I'm
ago.
gonna try them this year. But I also ordered some from England. I mean, it's always a chance, you know, now with Brexit and importation rules, it's tough sometimes to get seed in. But there's Keith Hammett is a New Zealand breeder who sells online. And those are the top. You know, there's like three top sweet pea breeders. So it's like definitely Keith Hammett is up there. And there's Owl's Acre, which is a really good one.
So I'll look for some links for some of these
Yeah,
things to
Roger
see if.
Parsons. I probably order most of mine from Roger Parsons in England.
All right, I'm gonna look. And I'll give some links within the transcript. And so just just again, a couple minutes. Is to digress from sweet peas, is there something, because you seem like this sort of trial gardener's mind, as we said at the beginning, you're a person who likes to like know for yourself if a group of plants is this one's the best or that one's the best for you. Is there some sort of holy grail item you're on the lookout for this year? Is there something new that you're thinking of jumping into, or are you continuing a trial that you've done in previous years? I mean, what's Matt Mattis got his eye on right now? Tell us the next thing.
It's always a long list. I'm curious about Mimulus, so monkey flowers. Yeah, I know there's a lot of breeding going on, like at University of Connecticut, and there's a few. If you just Google, you know, new breeding Mimulus, you'll see the colors and crosses and interspecifics, like and e even intergenerics, like two different genuses crossed together. I'm curious about those. The past few years, I've been starting those. Those do like it sort of warm under lights and then cool, similar to sweet peas. So yeah, so I think I'm curious about those. And if you're at a garden center, look for Mimulus. You'll see them. You know, there might be some proven winners ones or different selections from some of the big brand names that you're starting to see, and you might not know what they are, but try them.
So monkey flowers, okay. So that's one thing that you're on the lookout for.
Nemesia, I like there's a lot of breeding going on with those. These are all sort of cool weather annuals like you would see sold with pansies in the spring.
I can't even remember the common name for that.
I don't even know if there
I don't
is.
know if it even has one. NEMESIA is how
Yeah, look for that.
yeah, I don't even know what the common name is for that,
Yeah.
huh? So that's another one. Yeah, and so do you have anything? Are all your house plants inside right now, and are they
My
or in the
gosh.
greenhouse? And they're all
They're
yeah.
Every room is full. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, no, I know. And my fancy leaf begonias, and I know you have a lot, and you kind of use them outdoors as almost like annuals as well in the garden season. Mine are mad at me this year, and I don't know what it is. I don't know. I feel like all the plants even know that the weather is upside down. Even the indoor plants know that the weather is upside down. It's just a weird year. So that's subject for another
That's
time.
begonias is another thing. I will say they don't, they do sort of pout when they come in
They
this time of
do.
year
Yeah.
and just find a room where they could go semi-dormant
Yeah,
for the winter.
they want to go back out in the humidity.
You can't blame them, right?
I know. Well, thank you for making time, Matt Mattis. We'll have a book giveaway, as I said, with the transcript of the show over on A Way to Garden. And I hope I'll talk to you again soon. And happy seed catalog shopping meantime.
Thank you, Margaret.
Okay. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And as I said to Matt, happy seed catalog shopping meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.